Today on Real Life Radio.
God has promised that the moment your body ceases to exist, in that instant, you are in the presence of the Lord, which means we pass, as the scripture says, from death to life. Which means if you get hit by a truck today, choke on a burger, or die of cancer, the moment it happens, you're in God's presence. Do you understand that? We will not be held by the grave.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, A Life Worth Dying For. Now, there's no question that we live in a challenging and perilous time, right? A world that's losing its moral values, filled with hopelessness and coming under judgment. A world living for pleasure and financial gain, no matter the cost. You see, lovers of wealth and pleasure are missing what really matters the most, the eternal blessings of God. That what we believe is so valuable is worth dying for. A life following after Jesus Christ, that's greater than anything this world could possibly offer to us. It's when we recognize the worthiness of Christ and realize the emptiness of this world that our lives really have meaning and purpose. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that judgment is coming, but the true believer will be justified through Jesus Christ and our sin will be forgiven. The moment we lose our lives here, that's the moment that we will enter into eternity. And now in his message called A Life Worth Dying For, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus, every time they brought that cat of nine tails across his back and ripped his flesh open, every scratch, every tear upon his body, that was gossip he was paying for. And it made me think, I tell you, when I got out of the theater, I just wanted to go straight home. I went straight home. I didn't want to talk to anybody. When that movie came to a conclusion, the theater sat silent. Nobody clapped. Nobody said, right on, Jesus. Nobody said, let's go get something to eat. Nobody said anything. You sat in silence and you're overwhelmed. He did it for me. I saw yesterday a senator being interviewed in Washington, and the guy off the cuff said, oh, by the way, have you seen the movie The Passion? And he said, I did see the movie. And it's amazing to me that Jesus did that for me. That's all I could think about. He did it for me. And so I gladly embrace him. And I gladly hold his testimony. You want to know why? There's nothing in this world that the world can offer me that can take the place of what Christ offers. Nothing. What are you living for? Is it worth dying for? This message of love and forgiveness, why do you find fault with it? What's your problem with it? Honestly. And you can't say, well, you know, I had this upbringing, or this other church I went to. That doesn't hold any water. What is your issue with Jesus Christ? He loves you. Stop kicking against him. Give up. Surrender. Don't refuse and reject such love. They could not let go of that testimony and of the Word of God. Look at number two with me. The second point, a life worth living for, is a life that lives beyond death. Is a life that lives beyond death. This excites me to no end. Look at verse 10. That the believer will be justified in eternity. This is good news. It says that there in verse 10 that they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? Wow, this is tremendous, because the word that they use for Lord is a word that is rarely ascribed to God or to Jesus Christ. The word is despotis. You understand the English word despot. How long, O despot? Reference to Christ. This is a very serious statement that these souls in heaven are declaring. Lord, despot, supreme ruler of all that there is, how long will it be before you exercise vengeance and judgment because of those people on earth who killed us? Isn't that far different than what Jesus cried out upon the cross? You remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Huh? What about Stephen? Lord, they don't know what they do. Lay this not to their charge. Forgive them. As Stephen was being stoned to death. In the tribulation period, to the tribulation believer that dies for Christ, what does he say? How long, O Lord, till you bring judgment upon those who've done this? Wow. Why is that? Because it is a world given over at a time when God's wrath will be coming upon the earth. The believer will be justified in eternity. Some of you might think, well, you know what? That's fine for eternity, but I'm going to go get my pound of flesh now. Don't do it. And that's not Christ-like. There's a lot wrong in this world, isn't there? I mean, look around. You don't even have to look around much. You just walk down the street. Or you just wake up in the morning. There's enough wrong. What should be our response at this time? In righteousness, yes, but loving. In holiness, not compromise. Forgiving. Pointing people to the cross. Why? Because judgment's coming. The Bible says that God will judge the earth in righteousness. You say, Pastor, don't you mean to say that, you know, like the bumper sticker is, smile, God loves you? That's true, you know. You can smile, God loves you. But to be honest, there should be a bumper sticker that says, smile, God loves you, but he's angry with the wicked every day, says the Bible. If I just stood up here and said, you know, God loves you. You know, that's true, but it's half truth. God loves you, but we need our sins forgiven. You need to come to Christ. Why? Because until we do, our wickedness, our sin is upon our own neck. That's why he's the Savior. We have to be saved from something for him to be our Savior. You see? See, well, it's not very popular. Well, I know it's not, but that's the truth. Now, these who are sacrificed here at the hands of an unbelieving world during the tribulation period are none other than the tribulation saints. And by the way, the Bible says that there's going to be a group so big, so great, that gets saved during that period of time that no man can number them. And you might ask, well, how does that happen? When the church is removed from the earth, how's the gospel going to be preached? Oh, the Lord has his ways. Number one, through the testimony of these witnesses, for one thing. That's going to play on the minds of people, that these people died for their faith in Christ. Not only that, but the preaching of the two prophets that will come and preach out of Jerusalem. You know that. We'll study that in the future. Two prophets God will instill upon the earth to preach the gospel. That's powerful. By the way, the Bible says that these guys will preach from the streets of Jerusalem. And the world will hear their preaching. How in the world could that have ever happened until our day with satellite broadcast, huh? Isn't that interesting? Another way is that by the witnessing of the 144,000. Can you imagine how the Bible makes it very clear. By the way, if you're a Jehovah's Witness this morning, please listen carefully. You've been lied to, and I'm going to tell you right now, pure out of the Bible, you've been lied to. 144,000. The original Jehovah Witnesses claim that the first believers of the Jehovah Witness movement was the 144,000. They get to go to heaven. If you're the 144,001, you don't get to go. You just go into annihilation land. You cease to exist. That's nowhere found in the Bible. But here's the bigger problem. The Bible says that each 12 tribes of Israel will produce 12,000 from each tribe. They're Jews. So if you're a Jehovah Witness this morning and you're one of the 144,000, what tribe are you from? And you have to be Jewish. And the Bible says, we shall see in the book of Revelation and future studies, out of the 144,000, you have to be a man. A male, a man. Not a mailman, but a man that's a male, a male. A real man. In California, I have to make that clear. A male. A male who's a man. Okay? You have to speak Hebrew, says the Bible. And here's, listen, and you have never been with a woman, you're a virgin. So if you're from one of the tribes, there's got to be 12,000 from each tribe, equaling 144,000. You got to be a man, you got to be a virgin, you got to speak Hebrew. Now, see, you've been lied to by Charles Russell. That's called a cult. But God will get the word out through the 144,000. But I've got a theory. I think even greater than all that. Do you realize that when the rapture happens, how many Bibles are going to be available for people to read? You ever think of that? Think about it. What if the Bible, what if we got raptured? How many Bibles would be? And raise your hand. You have a Bible at your house. Raise your hand. Look, look around. Keep your hand up. Look, that's awesome. You're out of here. The rapture happens. God takes you home. Your Bible's sitting there on your coffee table wide open. Bibles are going to be found. Think about all the Gideon Bibles in hotels around the world. The Bible. I predict people will be reading the Bible more during the tribulation period than they do now. People are going to wonder, what in the world happened? Read the book. It's all the answers are in the book. We'll be justified. They will be justified in eternity. Very important thing to keep in mind and to understand. Verse 10 teaches us also that the believer shall never die. Not really. The believer will never die. Listen, the life that Christ offers is a life worth dying for because the believer will never die. And you might say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? You just contradicted yourself. Well, let me put it to you like this. The fact of the matter is Jesus Christ says, if a man believes in him, he shall never die. Well, what's he talking about? For the believer, I don't know how to get this across. Those of us who are believers, Christians, that is that we follow Christ. That's why we have this title, Christian. By the way, if you're not following Christ, you're not a Christian. If you don't adhere to his teachings, you're not a Christian. To adhere to him is to be labeled a Christian. Now listen to this. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You and I get the sense, we begin to think that if we're dying via cancer or via persecution, that there's this long drawn out thing and that we somehow are bound by death. Not for the believer. Please get this. You are a Christian. And God has promised that the moment your body ceases to exist, in that instant, you are in the presence of the Lord. Which means we pass, as the scripture says, from death to life. Which means if you get hit by a truck today, choke on a burger, or die of cancer, the moment it happens, you're in God's presence. Do you understand that? We will not be held by the grave. Our soul will immediately go be with the Lord. Yes, these bodies, these spacesuits designed for earth will go into the ground awaiting the resurrection until the rapture happens. But listen, if I die today, think about how wonderful this is. If you as a believer die today, you will not be locked in some dark room and you, let me out. You will not have to be, as the room begins to darken, saying goodbye to people because you don't know exactly where you're going to go. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The word means in a twinkling of an eye, you'll be with him. The grave will not hold us. That is the most wonderful news. Why are you not believing in the words of Jesus? What hope he offers you today? To leave this world in an instant at your moment of death? And to know, the Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And eternal life begins the instant that we breathe our last breath here for us in a practical way. You ever been to a nice dinner where they got your little name on the plate there? My mother-in-law is so big on that every holiday season. I mean, we're just going to her house. But it's a big deal. Man, she's got your name right there. And even if you want to sit and talk to one of your relatives, if his name's not next to your seat, it's too bad. You got to sit down where that name is. Why? Because she's arranged the seating, and that seat's reserved for you. And I want to ask you, do you have a seat reserved in heaven for you? There's a way to get it reserved, and that's to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, the believer will never die the death. Our body stops breathing and we go into the presence of the Lord. And that's a wonderful hope. Third and final point, we'll end with this. A life worth dying for is a life that shall continue on with others forever. A life that will continue on with others forever. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, verse 11, we learn that is a life that Jesus Christ guarantees. It's a life that he guarantees. It says, then white robes were given unto them, each of them. And it was said of them that they should rest a little while longer. White robes. By the way, those of you who are Bible scholars, circle this word right here, white robes. It's though it's beautiful, fantastic white robes, it's different than what the church wears. The church does not simply have white robes. The church, the Bible says, is given fine white linen, marital gowns, a wedding dress. The tribulation saints are given white robes. There's a difference. But having said that, life with Jesus Christ is guaranteed. The white robe is a declaration by God given to the believer of their purity. But the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then how can we be made pure? And that's a wonderful thing to consider. The Bible tells us that we are washed by the water of the Word of God. But notice that the robes are given to them. Do you read in here anyone buying robes? Hey, how much is that robe? You can't buy the robes. With what I'm about to say, I wish there was some way for me to so convince you, but it's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince you of what I'm about to say. Those of you who have accepted Christ, you know that you're dressed for eternity when it comes to forgiveness regarding sin. You know it. You sense it. You know it. I'm not stressing feelings, but you know that you've been accepted. What a great feeling it is to know that you're accepted by God Almighty. Based upon what? The sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And the Bible tells us that we will be in heaven with our brothers and sisters forever. Jesus Christ in this life that he offers is guaranteed to us. And it says here that they should rest a little while. This is a beautiful word because it means that they were and had not the opportunity to rest on earth, but now rest has been given to them. And they're to wait. Why? Because there's still time left in the tribulation period and other believers must die at that time. And I want to make it clear, if you're here for the first time, I believe without any doubt that the church will not see these days that we're talking about here in Scripture. The church will be raptured according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, promised by God. This is the situation of the tribulation saints. And finally, look at this. Life with Jesus Christ makes perfect sense. It says that they're to wait until the number, both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were until that was completed. This is an amazing thing. It means that God knows how many believers will die during the tribulation period. And when that number hits, God knows exactly that that's the conclusion of it. That that's the close of it. That word complete is a very powerful word. In the same token, the argument's made that the gospel will be preached, that Israel will be blinded from the gospel by and large until the fullness of the Gentiles is completed, and then God will deal with Israel again. Isn't it amazing? There's the exact number of believers during the church age that God knows, and that last person that comes to Christ, that's it. God knows. Well, what's the number? I don't know the number. Well, who is it? I wish I knew who that person was. We'd go witness to him, you know? Hey, come on, accept Christ. Let's get out of here. No, I want to just close with this. Jesus has come to change our lives and to give us a hope that is confident, a hope that makes perfect sense. And I want to just lay this before you. That's why Jesus Christ came to take us to heaven, to show us the way back to God. Jesus came and he taught us that we cannot make it on our own. Jesus came and showed us that we cannot give him something or donate some money or whatever it might be, that it's not by any works of our own flesh. Jesus came and lived the example of what God would accept. And when I look at that example that he lived, I can't meet it. I can't live up to that. The Bible makes it clear that I was never to live up to that, but to put my trust in him as it were, almost to vicariously live my life out through him. That's why the Bible says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life for us, and he met the requirements of God's law. And Jesus came and he died for us in our place so that we would never have to be held by the grave. That cold, dark, lonely place where the Bible says that hell was created for Satan. It's a pit that whoever's there, they just have that horrible sensation of falling forever and ever. Talk about the ultimate roller coaster drop. In total blackness, with no light, alone, no one else, absent from the presence of God, with flames that apparently give no light but horrible heat. And in those flames, the Bible says that there's a worm that gnaws upon your body and he's never satisfied. A place so bad that the Bible says it was never intended for human beings. A place that sin demands the sinner go to. But Christ comes as a great bridge and says, wait a minute. Those mankind, humanity, created in my image, though you've been alienated from God and you're a sinner and you've been unable to keep the laws of God and you can't be holy and justified and pure, for God is holy and pure, and you can't be in his presence. Jesus says, I've provided the way. I will go to the cross and take the punishment that was ordained for you. I'll do it. And then in so doing, I, when I'm resurrected from the dead, I will be qualified then to bestow upon you all of my righteousness. You will be stamped righteous. Your passport will be declared for eternity. And if you'll accept me, that's what you'll get. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you acknowledge me, I will acknowledge you. See, it's your choice. And it's your choice right now. Father, we come to you, Lord, this morning. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would move upon our hearts, Lord. As believers, Father, we are excited and we exalt your name. And Lord, we thank you that you didn't come to give us religion, but you came to invite us to a relationship. Lord, that this moment that we've spent together out of the whole week is just a little additive to our moment by moment, day by day relationship with you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio in a message called A Life Worth Dying For. Thanks for being with us today. A Life Worth Dying For is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, our good friend William Federer has done it again. He's written a book called Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. Isn't that what it's about? Control. Seems like everybody is seeking to control you these days. Why is that the narrative? Why is that what you're hearing about on the news? And let's be honest, everybody, why is it that that's what you're feeling when it comes to your own rights and freedoms and that of your children? Because there is a group of people who practice socialism who want to control you. This is the new America unless we put a stop to it. And this book will help you do that. It will give you incredible insights and historical backgrounds, literally throughout history. Which is the deep state? It is that action of control. How do we know? Well, you know what, everybody? It's been happening since Plato, and it's happening right now in our present day.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.